For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
This is Believe in Georgia Dogs Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network.
It's time to awaken an entire nation.
I'll be a dog till I die. Between the hedges, looking fly. 90,000 in the stands, I'ma do my dance, make it look fine. Coach put me in the game. UGA, yeah, the name. Yeah, the offense gon' turn up, but the defense gon' win us the game.
Here's your host, Corey Burton.
All right, welcome in. It is a Friday here on the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast. It's a bye week Friday, which means it's very relaxed. Joining me, I'm Corey Burton. I'm your host. Joining me, as always, a man that is looking to start a winning streak tonight. It's Israel Troop. Israel, what's up, man?
What's going on? Yes, after playing Goliath last week, it's time for the Valiants to get back on track this week. So we're looking forward to a great game tonight. It's homecoming, so we got to get the distractions out the way. But I think our kids are ready to go, and hopefully, since we're playing somebody finally our size, you know, we can get back on that winning track.
So what does homecoming look like in the COVID era down there in Valdosta?
Well, it's still the same. Our administration has done a great job of trying to keep some normalcy with everything going on. We still have Spirit Week. We still do everything that we can. We actually had a pet rally today. It was outside. Everybody was social distance. Everybody had their mask on. So shout out to our administration for doing such a great job of trying to keep it as normal as possible, especially during this time of COVID, and trying to keep everybody safe at the same time. So it's been pretty normal. We had a great week of practice, and I think our kids are ready. We've been battle tested. We've finally gotten over that hump right now. So we're finally facing people our same size. Every school that we've played so far has been way bigger than us. I mean, so our kids are excited, and it's homecoming, so it's going to be a little bit amped up, but I think we'll come out with a victory tonight.
Well, there you go. Hope you get after it. Hope that game plan works. I know you guys have been, you know, working hard and had a little hard luck, you know, between COVID and then, you know, running up against Goliath without your slingshot. So, yes. You know, maybe things will go a little bit better for you. We're on a bit of a winning streak. We've run three in a row since we started. We've scored a lot of points. We welcome in the Hillsborough Burrows. I think we're technically, since they don't have a stadium, we are the road home team.
Oh,
so
nice.
Let that soak in. So senior night, we're the away home team, and it's a good matchup. I think if we win our next two. If we finish out 5-0, which means we'll go 4-0 plus that random game that we can't make up in the region, mm-hmm. that doesn't really count as a loss, but like if there was a tiebreaker, we wouldn't get the credit for a win. The other team would actually get that since we had to plead no contest. But if we win and get some help, there's a chance that we could go region champs after not qualifying for the playoffs last year. So that would be quite the swing, but Israel, we're rolling, man, and I feel like we got a great game plan. I won't reveal that game plan since you know, see if any of these people are listening. But an interesting fact, Israel, is I'm going to see Zach Mettenberger tonight. He is the offensive coordinator at Hillsborough High School, so I just learned that.
Get it going.
Yeah, so that'll be fun, and we'll talk some smack to him, see if he remembers who I am. But so that'll be That'll be fun. We've watched his offense. They've got some things rolling. They've got a good quarterback. We've got a good quarterback. It'll be a good duel. So hopefully we come out on top. It'll be the first time we've beat Hillsborough in, I don't even know. Definitely longer than 6 years.
And it's been great seeing all these Georgia guys, you know, doing great things. You know, I'm here. I'm an offensive coordinator. Zach's an offensive coordinator. You know, Damian Gary, Zach Clark, Central, mm-hmm. with Coach Perno. You know, so a lot of guys are doing some great things. Terrence Edwards is at Pace Academy. I mean, yeah, Terrence Edwards at Pace Academy doing great things. He still has his receiver academy going on. So a lot of Georgia Dogs are doing some great things with the youth.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. I love to see it.
And there's a lot of Georgia Dogs doing great things just in general. I mean, you know, Thomas Brown is, you know, he's in the NFL as a coach with Sean McVay. He's locked in with the great organization. You have, you know, Coach Bobo and B-Mac at South Carolina. Of course, Coach Muschamp is also, you kind of forget that he's a dog, but, you know, just a lot of guys doing a lot of different things. And, you know, so it's good to see. And so, you know, all of our coaching dogs that are playing tonight. So best of luck. If you're listening to this, Jay Rome, best of luck at Valdosta tonight. And so let's hopefully we can all get wins, except for maybe Zach. I don't want him to win tonight. Maybe just win every other game, just not tonight. So,
yeah, exactly.
So the show's brought to you by betonline.ag. The NFL season's in full swing. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. We're gonna pick some. We're gonna pick the only four SEC games that are happening this week. But some other notable games that's on the docket for the weekend. Big Ten action kicks off. Are you excited about the Big Ten? Wisconsin kicks off tonight. Probably won't get a chance to pick that or bet against it, but. They kick off against Illinois. They are 20-point favorites there. Clemson, Syracuse. How about this line? Clemson is favored by 46. And I think I might take it.
I think after what they did now, wait a minute. I got to do my research first. It might be – what time do they play tomorrow?
They play at noon.
Oh, they play at noon. So I got time to get my bearings right before I pick that one, but – I got to do some research on Syracuse, but
in the world
I mean,
of Charles
the way they're
Barkley,
playing right
they're
now,
terrible. they got thumped by Liberty.
Oh man, Liberty's great. You know, Liberty has Auburn's old quarterback.
Yeah, they
Malik.
Did.
What's Malik's last? I played against him when I was at Colquitt, and he was at Roswell with Coach John Ford and that team. That team was awesome.
Yeah,
that team was a great team. So Malik's doing great things over there at Liberty, and. You know, I bet Auburn wish they had him back, but that's a different story. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so do your research there. A couple other notable lines. Ohio State kicks off the season against Nebraska. The Battle of the Sunflower State, Kansas State hosting the Jayhawks. They're 19.5-point favorites. KSU is. The over-under is only at 48.5, so not many points are going to be scored there. The Battle of the Research Triangle, NC State versus North Carolina in Chapel Hill. Carolina's favored by 15.5, so another interesting line there. Bama, Tennessee, we'll get
game.
To that. Mm-hmm. It will be. It will be a very, very good game. Notre Dame, Pitt. Notre Dame's favored by 10. Pitt coming off a big loss against Miami, looking to bounce back against Notre Dame. That'll be an interesting contest. And then Iowa State, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State 3-0, 2-0 in the Big 12. Iowa State, again, 3-1. Their only loss to the Raging Cajuns. They seem to right the ship since then. Oak State's only 3.5-point favorites in that. Any matchups stand out to you there? Or Penn State, Indiana also. Penn State's only 6-point favorites in that one.
I'm interested to see. Pitt was rolling for a while, but their offense did look very good against Miami. I don't know if it was Miami's defense or Pitt's offense. I'm interested to see how they bounce back this week. I loved that game last night with Arkansas State and Appalachian State last night. It was a really good game. It was a lot of turnovers, you know, a lot of back and forth. But I tell you what, Appalachian State is looking really good on offense, and they're clicking on defense. So. That'll be a team to look out for later on down the line this season.
Yeah, they've kind of bounced back in a good way. They went up to Marshall and got thumped early in the season, and just kind of seemed like they didn't have all their ducks in a row. But it seems like they've kind of got it together. I'm excited about this Iowa State Oklahoma State game, which is weird to say because I don't typically get excited for Big 12 football. But Chuba Howard, I want to see kind of what he can do against a great defense. You know. When you say Big 12 and you say defense in the same sentence, people usually laugh at you, but Iowa State's kind of the anomaly in that conference. They do actually play some good defense. Matt Campbell, somehow is still there. I don't know how he's not gotten hired away from by a bigger program, but nonetheless, he's done a great job for Iowa State. I have a friend that is a big Hawkeye fan. They're going through some off the field controversy.
Man, they are struggling over there right now, and it's amazing to see these programs that all this controversy starting to come out now. So hopefully they can get it right, because I mean Iowa has always been, you know, a great school, you know, a great football team, very physical. They can beat you on any day. So hopefully they get it right. But it's sad to see situations like that, especially in this great game of football. Mm-hmm. You know,
they could use a good refresh there too. But maybe they just invite Matt Campbell across the state into the Big Ten. I don't know. Matt Campbell seems more like a Big Ten coach to me anyway.
Yes.
Michigan, Minnesota, what do we think about these two teams? Two teams that are between Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. I think those are the only three teams, and I guess you could say Penn State, that can challenge Ohio State for the conference title this year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you expect anything out of Michigan, Minnesota?
I think Minnesota's going to row the boat. You know, my man Rashad Bateman's back. You know, he's from my hometown, Tift County.
Oh, yeah.
He's back this year, rocking the number zero, and I think they've come together, and I think Coach Fleck has done a great job of building that team and establishing a standard, and I think they love it over there. So Michigan is still yet to show me anything, you know. It's Coach Harbaugh's show, and you know we'll see what happens. I think Minnesota wins that game, but. You know, it's good. Their energy is just so amazing, and how they do things. So, it'll be interesting to see. I think Minnesota and Penn State have the upper hand on how to compete with Ohio State. So we'll see how it goes.
And then in the group of five, you got Cincinnati, SMU. SMU, they didn't cover, but they did win against a very pesky Tulane team. What do you think about this matchup?
Ooh, I don't know. I'm gonna have to do some research on that one. But
SMU is only favored by 2.5, so it's
I know. SMU's good, and then they'll go bad. They'll be really good, and then they'll be really bad in the game. So they're kind of up and down. So that'll be a really good game, to say the least. That's definitely a pick'em game. That's one. Who do you think is going to win? Who do you think is going to cover?
Exactly. I mean, I think SMU, I think they're a little bit more explosive offensively. This is kind of one of those explosive offenses versus a very tight, stingy defense, you know, in Cincinnati. So I think Shane Buechele's got it rolling, and I think he'll get it going. So
we shall see. That's the great thing about football. Any given day, anybody can get beat. So.
Yeah, does Justin Fields have a legit shot at the Heisman? I know it's kind of like Trevor Lawrence or bust at this point.
I think it's once they start playing, you know, that's the downside. Trevor Lawrence has about 4 or 5 games under his belt, and he showed out in every last one of them. So he definitely has the upper hand. But I think when Justin Fields comes back and they can actually get some games in. I think it's out of those two, and I mean you can't forget Travis Etienne either. You know, so the Heisman is literally up for grabs, you know, especially now with this COVID thing hitting. And if the Big Ten can't get all their games in, I think Trevor Lawrence is a lock. But if they can get their games in and Justin Fields can have a great season this year, I think it's out of Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm. I do, too. I think once the Big Ten gets rolling, I think Justin Fields will insert himself. Because right now, I think if it were to end without the Big Ten playing – I think it would be Lawrence, Etienne, and then just draw a name out of hat after that. So
exactly.
That's kind of where I'm at with that. So that's good to know. And then lastly, before we move on, little brother, Georgia Southern, is on the road at Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina ranked for the first time ever, 4-0, playing some great football. But so is Georgia Southern. They're lighting some things up. So that's going to be an interesting matchup. Coastal is 5.5-point favorites. What do you think about this matchup? Do you like Georgia's? Is it a situation where know, you root for Georgia Southern since you're sitting down there in South Georgia. Do you root for the good story in Coastal Carolina and the brand of football that they're playing? Kind of, where do you stand on this matchup?
I'm called in between. One of my really good friends is a tight end coach over there at Coastal. Really great friend of mine. Our families are so tight, it's ridiculous. And then on the other side at Georgia Southern, I got a couple players that are playing over there. So this is a toss up. I think it's going to be a great game. I saw a lot out of Georgia Southern when they played Arkansas State. That offense can get rolling. So I think it's going to be a battle of defenses. Who can stop who? I think whoever gets the ball last in this game is going to win the football game. If it goes like I'm saying now, it could go south real fast for either team. But I think it's going to be a defensive battle. If each team can eliminate the big play and just play solid defense, I think it's going to come down to the last possession to see who wins that football game.
So in your case, you're rooting for your players that play at Georgia Southern. You're rooting for Southern to win, but you're rooting for Coastal Carolina's tight ends to go off. Is that accurate?
Yes. So, you know, I always root for my Georgia boys. But, you know, the Chanticleers are playing really good football right now. I mean, they
really are.
They have bought in to that system, and they're having fun too. And that's the thing, like I said last week with this game, if you're not having fun in this game, then it'll eat you alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're having fun, they're putting up points, and they're excited. You know, so it'll be a great matchup to say the least. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. Do they play tonight or do they play Saturday?
They play, let's see, I just scrolled off of it. They play, where am I at? Looks like they play Saturday at noon.
Good. I would definitely be, if not watching that game, I'm definitely recording that one because that's gonna be a good game. I think the conference out of those two, as of right now, you know, just after watching those two teams play, and just how physical and how physical they are on defense. And their style of offense has been so explosive. So it's going to be interesting to see that game at 12 o'clock. So I'm definitely tuning in to that one.
Yeah, that probably might be the best game of that time slot. So plenty of lines to choose from. Do your research, of course, from game spreads and totals to team and player coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. There's always the online casino as well. That never closes. So head to betonline.ag today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag. Sign up today. That's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And if you want to join BetOnline and sponsor our show, feel free to reach out to us. You can find us on social media at Believe in Dogs on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find me at CoachBurton36 on Twitter, Burton.Corey on Instagram. Israel, where can we find you?
You can find me at TroopStar28 on Instagram and Twitter. I'm a part-time comedian as well, and a little bit of a philosopher here and there. So, very entertaining. So, give us a follow and let's have some fun with this thing.
So, if there's a comedy club out there somewhere, feel free to sponsor us. We're a national Georgia show. So, comedy clubs,
believe it, baby.
if you're listening, hit us up. Israel, go on. I'll open for him. No problem. All right. That's that. So let's get into it. Big news. Kamari Lassiter, Rivals 250 defensive back corner, committed to Georgia last night. That was a big get. I think Georgia is in need of some good playmaking cornerbacks. He is 6 foot, 185 pounds. He is out of American Christian Academy in Tuscaloosa. So we pulled him out of Bama country, four-star kid. What stands out to you about him?
Size. I mean, size. I mean, see, he's 6 foot two, 185, you said. So, yeah. I mean, just the size alone is what we need, you know, especially at corner. Because we usually typically have undersized corners, but very physical corners at the same time. You know, and that's not a bad thing, but we need those big physical corners, you know, to especially when we play the Alabamas of the world, to get up in their face and be physical with them, long guys. So I'm very excited. I saw it last night, kind of read about him this morning. So I'm looking forward to him being there. You know, it's really hard to pull people out of I love Alabama, especially considering the Auburns and the Alabamas of the world. So to get him to commit to us and actually come to Georgia is great, great, great job by that coaching staff. Great job. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, he's somebody that also I think could help us in special teams as well in the return game. He's somebody that, you know, that can, when he comes in, he can take over for Kyrus Jackson. But, you know, the size really kind of stands out to me as well. He, you know, he plays, he has good breaking speed on the ball. He has a knack for finding the football. He has a knack for creating havoc. And, you know, I think he looks to be willing to tackle, which, not a ton of corners like to do. So, that's some big news there. That's something that you like to see. Recruiting's been going well. I mean, we talked about Amarius Mims committing, and you know, Brock Vandegrift, I think, had a lot to do with that. So that's going to be that's going to be another big get it on the offensive line. That's somebody that I think could be a 4-year starter, kind of like Andrew Thomas was.
Most definitely. And, you know, when you add those big bodies up there with the Trey Hills and, you know, Ben Cleveland's leaving after this year. So once you start adding those pieces, you know, you don't skip a beat. You know, that's part about O-line. You can't skip a beat. You know, you get those guys in, all of them work at various positions and stuff. So that way, you know, they build that relationship with one another, that cohesiveness up front. So, you know, it's not rebuilding, you know, it's more so a replacing. All right, this guy graduated or he left once in the NFL. All right, we replace him with another guy that can get the job done. So I think that's the big key. I think Coach Smart and that coaching staff is doing a great job of replacing guys, you know, especially when they leave. So it's going to be interesting to see next year. So as long as we keep doing what we're doing, you know, keep winning ball games, people are going to want to come to Georgia. And that's the thing. So I'm here for it. And in due time, you know, this thing's gonna get rolling in the right direction. Not that it's not right now, but we're gonna finally reach that mountaintop sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. And these big recruits are gonna pay huge dividends. Some others to look out for: Xavier Sory, who's a 4-star athlete from IMG. I think I got his name right. 4-star running back Amari Daniels from Miami Central. You know, getting kids from Miami is always a good recruiting strategy. They tend to produce some good football players. I don't know if you realize that, but Smail Munden from Paulding County. He's a 4-star outside linebacker, a big position of need. Somebody who at one point we thought he was a lock and was going to commit by the end of the spring. But COVID happened, and he's had some time to reconsider. I think Tennessee and Auburn are in the mix big time for Smail Munden. And then defensive end Tyrion Ingram Dawkins from Gaffney, South Carolina. Those are some ones to look out for here in the next few weeks. So we could, you know, we have a legitimate shot at all of those guys, but some of those might fall off. So be on the lookout for that. Any of those stand out? Any of those have more importance, or? Are they all just, you want them all in the boat?
I mean, I want them all in the boat. You know, the more the merrier. You know, the more people you have in situations like that, the more competition you have, and the better you get at practice. And in games, you know, you build that competition to where those guys want to play. They don't want to sit on the bench, so they're going to give you all they got. You bring in these four-star, five-star guys, 3-stars, 2-stars, 1-stars. You know, and they make their way up that depth chart, and you just see what they got. So, you know, recruitment is kind of finicky, you know, with the day and age of social media. You know, you got fans that can tweet and talk to the guys and all that good stuff. So it's a lot different than when you and I were coming up. So it'll be interesting to see how everything shakes out, especially in the COVID era. You know, 2020 and 2021 class has kind of got the shaft with this COVID deal. And I hate it for those guys, especially my seniors this year, because they can't go on visits and stuff like that. So, I just hope that they get their chance and they make the right decision where they want to go to school. It's all about the kid. You know, we're a little bit selfish because we want them to come to Georgia, of course. But I'm more interested in where the kid wants to go and where he's going to be happy at, too. So, you know, that's how I look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be interesting to see kind of how that shakes out with no official visit. So stay tuned in that recruiting front. Speaking of freshman or incoming freshman, Kendall Milton, has really endeared himself to this coaching staff. He's in line for more playing time, averaging 6.4 yards per rush. He's averaging 4.3 of those yards after contact. So somebody who's really kind of making his way and making his way up the depth chart, as you said. Doesn't matter how you get there. Doesn't matter when you get here. You perform, you play, and that's something that Kendall Milton has taken to heart, and he might just be right there underneath Zamir White, who's scored 5 touchdowns in 4 games, and seems to have better explosiveness, better vision, things like that than Zamir White, and he'll be a good addition to that. And then James Cook, as he gets more healthy, will be more explosive too. So the state of the running backs is kind of changed and kind of different than what I expected. But again, there's some great competition within that room. There's 4 guys there that I think could legitimately be the starter and wouldn't have any issues with that.
Most definitely. I love the way Coach is playing them. He's playing each running back to their strength, mm-hmm. you know. So, and that's the thing. As a coach, you got to know your players. You got to know what they can do and all that good stuff. And I think Coach is doing a great job of rolling those guys and keeping them fresh and, you know, each one of them getting their totes. And that's great. And James Cook, I mean, watching him last week, that's the James Cook we've been waiting for.
Yes.
Spread him out wide, you know, put him at slot, put him at running back. You know, they have to account for him. And I think, you know, they keep doing that and keep spreading the wealth. I think we're going to be real good. And I think after this week, this off week, and they've been practicing, I think you're going to see some little different, you know, stuff going on and how to use guys and stuff like that offensively. So I think we're going to be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be, you know, running the ball is getting better and better each and every week, each and every game. You know, you're starting to see the offensive line gelling a little bit. Things are starting to kind of calm down. So that's always good. That's always good to know. Thinking about the quarterback situation, with Stetson Bennett and things like that, and JT Daniels. There's been quite some competition going on in practice, but. You know, I think it's going to be something where, you know, you're just trying to look at when Daniels gets not only medically cleared, but football cleared. How is that going to go? How is Stetson Bennett going to learn? You know, how does he digest what he's done? Haven't heard much on that front, but, you know, you have to think that, you know, with some time between the Bama game and now, I rewatched some of it and, you know, there's some plays that he left out there that I think if he does some good film study that he will be just fine. I think there's probably 4 plays at least that he could have avoided the batted ball altogether if he just get the ball out to the flat to the running back or to the tight end on the check down. So a lot of things to improve on. So hopefully that happens as well.
Most definitely. And I actually went back and watched the game. I actually stole 2 plays from that game, one from Alabama and one from Georgia that they ran. To put in my package this week. And, you know, Stetson Bennett, I think he just tried to do a little bit too much in that game, tried to force the ball a little bit. And, you know, he takes those underneath passes, you know, you throw it 40 yards or you dump it off 5 and he runs 40 yards. It's all the same, you know. So, you know, he's a smart kid. You know, he's going to go in. And I bet he was on the plane or on the bus watching film, you know, and that's just the kind of guy he is. And, you know, he'll bounce back great from that. And when JT Daniels gets cleared, like football cleared, he's medically cleared. But once he gets football cleared, I think he's going to be a great contributor as well. So I still think it's Stetson Bennett's job to lose. And I think those between him and Matt, between JT Daniels and Mathis, I think they need to continue to compete. Carson Beck, too, you know, compete, 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 compete. You never know when your day is going to come. So as long as you're competing, those coaches have confidence in you and everything that you do, and everything will be fine. Everything will work itself out. So just compete. Competition, that's one thing I love about Kirby Smart. I went to one of their practices a couple years ago, and that's all he was talking about, competing, competing, competing. Show your coaches you can be trusted. Show them you know what to do, and everything will work out on its own. So I bet this off week that's what they were doing, and I'm looking forward to next week against Kentucky.
Exactly. And I think Kentucky is a team that is on the rise, and they're a team that needs to, you know, you're going to have to play polished football if you're going to beat Kentucky. So that'll be something that we preview in depth with next week. We're going to go on the Believe in Kentucky podcast with Vinny Hardy and Tony Delk. Do you remember Tony Delk?
That name sounds familiar.
He was a point guard for Rick Pitino on the 96.
National
Championship team.
Yeah, I knew that name. I was like, I know that name from somewhere.
They wore those just disgusting denim uniforms, you know?
Gag.
Yeah.
We won't hold that against him. No,
we won't. That's going to be one of the first questions I ask him. I'll be like, hey, Tony, what was it? You know, what was it like when they unveiled those bad boys? So
who picked those out is what I want to know. Who did this to y'all?
Yeah, some marketing guy just came in probably and was like, man, these uniforms look so awesome. I'm so excited. And no.
You get them, you're like, what is this?
Yeah, and unfortunately, our marketing guy, yes, we have one at our school somehow. Our marketing guy kind of feel bad for him on this because he got all excited about some of these like alternate uniforms. Because what happened like back in 1980, there was another high school. There was actually a high school in the community that I live in, Bellevue mm-hmm. High School, and they were. Bellevue High School is now Bellevue Middle School.
Okay.
You know, Bellevue Middle School is now in Bellevue High School's old building. So when Bellevue High School shut down, all those kids got zoned to Hillwood. So Bellevue, they were the Owls, and they were navy blue and gray. And so what our guy did was he said, okay, well, you know, with the we have a new school in the works. We're moving campuses. And it's going to be, the school is going to actually be in Bellevue. It's going to be out on the outer skirts. It's going to be like right on the edge of our county. And so they still haven't named it. They still haven't given it colors. They still haven't given it a mascot or anything. They've still not even really gotten past the, groundbreaking and, grading of the property. So, I don't know when the school will actually be built, but in an effort to reinvigorate the Bellevue alumni, he wanted to bring these alternate uniforms in to kind of reinvigorate them and have like a Bellevue homecoming, which you know I like the idea. I see the effort and I see where he's going with that, but you know he ordered these navy blue uniforms and people just. They just didn't like
them. We're not happy.
They just weren't happy.
Yeah, they were not happy.
And they're not bad looking uniforms, but they just weren't. I don't know. It was weird because it. And I think it's because they were nondescript. I think it's because, you know, people are asking, well, we're Hillwood. Why are we, you know, why are we have these blue uniforms? And so I think just some of those factors that people just couldn't get around. But the uniforms actually look pretty nice. We wore the blue pants with the white jersey last week. So, and that was that was a nice little sharp look. So, I think it's just one of those things where, you know, you have some, you know, overeager marketing guy who, you know, going back to my original point, I don't even know where my original point was, but at Kentucky, I guess, they had some guy that had those jerseys. So, But just wanted to kind of update a few things with Georgia. I guess bye week right now, not much big news happening. That could be a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know. But some big news in recruiting that we had to cover. You want to make some game picks for the conference?
Most definitely. The one thing that was pointed out that I've kind of been reading about is nobody's gotten in trouble during the off week. So that is a definite plus.
That is a very,
you know,
very plus.
Normally during off weeks, you know, I think COVID's kind of shut that aspect of life down for the most part, but nobody's in trouble. You hadn't really had any injuries, knock on wood, that's been reported. So I think that's most important. When you leave an off week and everybody's healthy and everybody's ready to go, I think that's way important because that means you got better. You had all your guys there. And there was no distractions. You know, of course, there would be distraction because, all right, you just played Alabama. Everybody's talking about the quarterback position, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, when you're able to just go to work and get better, get back to fundamentals, you know, get back to competing every day at practice like you have been all year. And I think that's most important. And I think Georgia's done that this week. And I'm looking forward to next week for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that's just something, you know, when you were there, I know sometimes they, you know, I know Georgia was ebbing and flowing with people getting arrested at different times. I know there was one at one point, there was like it was getting a bit ridiculous. Like what happens in the locker room, you know, when somebody gets arrested, and they come back that, you know, the next day or whenever they come back, what do the other guys say to them?
It's just more so like you, like what happened, you know, cause we're a brotherhood, you know, we're usually around each other more, than anybody else. So, you know, it's usually just like what happened, you know, let's try not to let that happen again. Try to help each other out. So there wasn't any finger pointing or anything like that. It's more so, all right, you're my brother, so let's not let this happen again and stuff like that. So, you know, they're kids. You know, we were there, we were kids, and I've made my fair share of mistakes through there too. So I mean, you know, it's part of growing up, and you learn from it, and you keep it moving. So, you know, you can't judge anybody. Because everybody's been a kid once, everybody's done something stupid. It just depends on if you got caught or not. And sometimes we as players, you know, we get caught. And, you know, unfortunate for us is that we're on a large spectrum. Everybody finds out.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it's amazing to me that no other school other than Georgia has news come out when people get in trouble. Like, it's like, boom, somebody gets in trouble, it's automatic news. You know, and that's the guys doing their job, you know, but, you know, some stuff, you know, just don't, let's not report that. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. And some things that get out, like emerging from an alley, like you can get arrested for that.
Like, where did that come from? I was just walking home.
I know. It's like, God almighty, like some kid on a, like they, I think they wait because scooters are a big thing. They wait for, yes, I guess they wait for players too. Are like, oh, he's on a scooter. Let's get him.
That and being downtown and God, stuff like that. You
it's
know,
so and, easy to get caught up downtown. I've seen so many things downtown that just, you're just like, what?
Not a knock on the police by any means, you know, because there are some great ones that are in Athens, Clark County, and with the campus police and everything. But you do have some that just seek out football players. You know, if you sneeze wrong, you know, they want to come and question you and stuff like that too. So just, you know, just staying out of trouble is the main key, especially during this time of COVID too. You know, you don't want to be around a lot of people. You don't want to get caught out in the crowd and stuff like that. So I'm just glad to see that, you know, everybody's healthy, everybody's staying out of trouble and stuff like that. So we can move forward to reach that goal of one, making to the SEC championship and beating Alabama and playing for a national championship again this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's always good apples, bad apples in anything you do. And anybody that wields power, there's always people that can handle it and do it well. And there's always people that abuse it and try to use it to their advantage. So, you know, you just got to take the good with the bad, unfortunately. And a lot of the bad ones are glaringly in the news right now. So that's rather unfortunate, at least for the good ones. They're kind of getting clogged in with that mess. So, It's not an easy gig. I promise you. I'm not a police officer, but I can tell you, just by, you know, if you spend time in downtown Athens, you know how difficult it can be even in that regard when you're dealing with that many drunk people. So, I don't envy that job, and I'm glad I don't have that job. Although I think being a teacher, you're part-time security, part-time therapist, part-time educator, part-time parent, part-time chef. Part-time artist, part-time
bank loaner,
part-time taxi driver, part-time. What else?
We wear many hats. I tell my players all the time. I see y'all more than I do my own two kids at home.
Exactly. So, but that's neither here nor there. So let's pick some games. But glad Georgia got through. Minor bumps and bruises that I guess some guys are getting over. But, you know, bounce back. Have a great back half of the season. Take care of business against Kentucky. We'll preview that next week. And then stop the two Kyles. I think, you know, I've always said that this Alabama game is preparing us for that. So that'll be good. And then, you know, find a way to get past South Carolina. Find a way to slow down Missouri. Hope that Mississippi State doesn't get their stuff together, and then be the second to last game on Derek Mason's farewell tour. So that's how we're going to kind of round out the season, and so that'll be uh, that'll be fun. But you know, it's a very light conference schedule this week. You got Auburn traveling to Oxford to take on Ole Miss. Auburn somehow is still favored by 3 points. Israel, how do you see this?
Man, I don't know. I love the fact that Ole Miss is going back to the Navy in the red. I think that's a leg up on them. But after their showing last week, Ole Miss scares me a little bit. I just can't pick Auburn just because there's such dismay on offense. I think that with the tempo that Lane Kiffin runs, and if DJ Durkin can get that defense rolling, I think Ole Miss is going to pull this one out.
Yeah,
I think that offense bounces back. You know, like I say, you know, any given game, you know, it can be your game, whether you're going to win it, where you're going to lose it, whether you get your eyes beat in or you beat somebody else's eyes in. So I think Ole Miss is going to bounce back this week, and I think they'll win this game. The question is what they're going to do with Bo Nix and the dismay between, you know, him and Chad Morris and Williams and Gus Malzahn. How's that offense, like, come together? Because the defense is fine. They're just on the field so much. Yeah. I think that finally wore into them against South Carolina. They were just on the field so much. You know, you just can't do that to your defense. Happened to us against Alabama, too. So how can they right the ship on offense is going to be the main key. And I think that Ole Miss is going to bounce back this week. You know, Lane Kiffin is going to make his adjustments. I think they were still hungover from the Alabama game last week. They were in for a rude awakening against Arkansas last week. So I think they bounce back and end up winning this game against Auburn.
Yeah, they, you know, of all the great things you can say about a tempo offense, it is a very boom or bust type situation. Because when you boom, you boom. There's rarely ever any in between. When you're on, you're on, and you're probably to the tune of, you know, 40 plus against whoever. But when you're off, it's ugly. Like seven turnovers, yes. Like somehow struggled to score 21. And that was mostly because Arkansas tried to give them back and spot them some points. And so it's a very boom or bust type situation for Ole Miss. I still think their arrow was pointing up. I still think it was more of a, you know, they were kind of in bust mode. They couldn't quite get anything going. And then Barry Odom didn't let him figure it out, which, yes. You know, any great defensive coordinator, if you have a great explosive offense like Ole Miss has and you have them down on the mat, you have to not let them up.
Keep your foot on them. And
you
exactly.
Keep your foot on them. And so I think one of those things that you do is you just keep bringing pressure. You keep hitting the quarterbacks. You keep disrupting throwing lanes, things like that, which they did masterfully. Now, with Auburn, I think defensively they can hang, but if Bo Nix and the offense don't figure anything out and they leave them out to dry, you know, they're going to, you know, it's going to be a long day for Auburn. So, you know, I think even though it's a 3-point spread, I think Ole Miss is either going to cover it or they're going to win outright. So, because I think if Auburn gets rolling on offense, this game could turn into a shootout and it could be a 3-point game either way. I think Ole Miss right now, just given where their team is at, I think mentally Ole Miss could probably handle a shootout more because I think if things start to go south for Auburn and Bo Nix and Seth Williams and they continue to struggle, I think you're going to see a full-on mutiny. I think you're a banana peel away from a full-on mutiny on Gus Malzahn. And, you know, exactly. it wouldn't shock me if they, you know, if things got so bad against Ole Miss that they just left them in Oxford. And said, okay, we'll let Kevin Steele finish out the season.
Because you see, you know, Tennessee just fired their co-defensive coordinator in the middle of the game.
Yeah, that was
by reports, you know, I don't know if that's true or not, but at the same time, I mean, it's happening. Coach Anderson over at Arkansas State, you know, fired his defensive coordinator after Georgia Southern game. So, I mean, it's coming. Mm-hmm. And these administrations aren't scared to pull the plug on anybody. So if Auburn doesn't come out with a good showing this week, whether they win or lose, if they just don't come out with a good showing, I think this is the end for Gus Malzahn.
Yeah, and it should be. And a lot of Auburn fans, I think, are either off the Gus bus or they're making their way to the exit. So, and they're, you know, and that they could take or leave Bo Nix. So Point is, I'm taking Ole Miss again. I hope it's not a mistake, but I'm taking Ole Miss here. The next game is Alabama-Tennessee. Alabama's 21-point favorites. That's a huge spread and a bitter rivalry, but you know, until they don't cover a spread, I'm going to pick Bama. Their offense is, you know, we saw how explosive it can be. We saw how quickly they can score. We saw how quickly they can turn the momentum of the game. And it's impressive. So I think with Tennessee's struggles at the quarterback position, the fact that they still don't have a ton of depth, their defense plays great at times, but I just don't think they can sustain a full game right now, especially against a team that doesn't really pass all that well, a team that's mostly a running team offensively and defensively. They gave up a lot through the air against Kentucky, but they also gave up a lot on the ground as well. I think just Tennessee is due for butt kicking here. I think that, you know, the gas is running out for them. I think fans are growing restless with Jeremy Pruitt. Things are not brewing right now down there in Knoxville.
Yeah. It's not, and not to, you know, Jeremy Pruitt is doing a great, I mean, they're doing a great job of trying to get kids in, and his recruiting is going well. But I don't think they have the manpower to match up against Alabama at all, especially offensively. Alabama's defense shut us down the whole second half, you know, and I consider us a really good offense, and they just completely just shut us down in the second half. So Tennessee doesn't have anybody that can stretch the field. And if they can control the line of scrimmage, Alabama, then Tennessee's not going to be able to run the ball, and their defense is going to be on the field a lot. I think their defense is pretty good. But they can't do anything with those horses outside. Both tight ends, too, for that matter. You know, not only do you have to defend Mechie and Waddle Devontae Smith. Not only do you have to get those three, but they have two really good tight ends as well. And then you have to stop the run, and then you have to stop the quarterback, Matt Jones. Yeah, they have to stop him.
He can,
you know,
run,
he can still
bit.
Run it, and he can throw it. So, you know, I think they're out, man, I think they are going to take a whooping this week. I think Alabama covers. If not, then they're going to cover a lot more. So it's either they're going to cover or they're going to cover by a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah, either way, that 21-point spread doesn't really scare me a whole lot. Kentucky traveling to Columbia to take on the Tigers of Missouri. Kentucky – This is an interesting game because these two teams, Missouri, they beat LSU, yes, but we still don't really know what they have in the tank. And Kentucky was a team that came out, we knew what they had in the tank. They struggled with what they didn't have in the tank, and that cost them in a lot of matchups. This matchup, will it cost them? I don't know. Missouri's can be pretty explosive at times on offense. That concerns me for Kentucky. I have selected Kentucky. Just because of their ability to control the line of scrimmage, their ability to control the clock. If they can do that out of the gates, then I think they'll be in good shape if they can stay in front of all of that. But if they get into a shootout type game with Missouri, that ain't going to go well for them. And Missouri might end up pulling away with that. But I think a team that's well-coached, experienced coach versus Missouri's brand-new staff, they're still trying to get to know each other. Kentucky already knows each other. They already have experience playing in this conference. They've played quite a gauntlet of a schedule so far. They've played in some surprisingly tough games. You know, we didn't think Ole Miss was going to be quite the game it was for Kentucky. So I think they cover. It's a 5.5-point spread. I think they win by a touchdown. They score late to, I think it's like probably a 3-point game, and then they score late and they push it. They push the lead out so that it becomes a cover. So I like Kentucky solely based on experience.
I think so too. I think Missouri showed me a lot, you know, the last couple of weeks. You know, that game against the LSU showed me that they can be explosive. I think if Missouri can stay balanced against Kentucky, I think Missouri pulls away and wins this game, because with Kentucky, you take away the run, then they're pretty much dead. They hit Tennessee on a couple of little RPO type deals. That's simply because the defense is on the field so much and they're tired. So, you know, that you get your eyes play tricks on you, and, you know, you give up a big play. If Missouri can stay balanced against Kentucky, like they have been doing, and take away the run, then I think Missouri has a great chance to win this football game. If not, then I think it's going to be a long night for Missouri, because Kentucky's pretty good. That defense made Tennessee get out of what they wanted to do. Tennessee wanted to stay balanced themselves and end up having to throw the ball. And once you put the ball in the quarterback's hands, either one of those guys, then it was all downhill from there. So they made them start having to throw the ball. So I think if Missouri can stay balanced, and I'm just going by what I saw against LSU, if they can stay balanced and put up some points, I think Missouri has a great chance to win this football game.
So you're taking Kentucky or you're going to take Missouri?
I think I'm going to take Missouri in this one. Okay. I think I am. Okay. Just from, you know, Kentucky played Tennessee last week. And I mean, we all saw how that went. They are very opportunistic defense as well. So no turnovers by Missouri. They can stay balanced. I think Missouri ends up winning this football game.
If Missouri wins this one, they will have shown me a lot. So they're from the Show Me State. So I'm going to make them show me I'm picking Kentucky. And judging by my picks and judging by my record, it's probably not much of a stretch. So the last conference game, it's a night game at LSU, which I think is good for 6.5 or 6 points in the spread. LSU is going to be without Miles Brennan. They're gonna roll with the pair of freshmen that they signed, AJ Finley and Max Johnson. Max Johnson, of course, an Oconee County product, Warrior, son of Brad Johnson. So, son of former NFL quarterback Brad Johnson, who's also brother-in-law with Coach Rick. So,
I was about to say his nephew.
Yeah, his nephew. So, a lot of ties into this game. Again, they're going to go with a two quarterback system, kind of see who can do what. But South Carolina's coming in. They've improved every single week. They're 2-2 now. Great win over Auburn last week, and of course the get right game that they played against Vandy 2 weeks ago was kind of the game that I guess got the ship pointed in the right direction, because South Carolina was a team that didn't have much figured out in the first 2 weeks. Kind of beat themselves a little bit. They've got some talent, some unknown talent, but they do have some talent. Kevin Harris is a great running back. He's somebody that's making an impact. 81 carries on the season, 400 yards and 6 scores. You have Shai Smith, who that was probably the only person we knew coming into the season as you preview South Carolina. So that's somebody that has made a huge impact. He's caught Randy Moss's eye for sure. He was on the NFL. Yeah. He was on the You Got Mossed segment, mossing an Auburn defender. So that's good to see. So Coach Bobo's got him rolling over there. To you and I, that's not much of a shock, but to the rest of the country and at least the rest of the Southeast, that might be a little bit more shock. Not that he has them rolling, but how quickly he has them rolling. But again, that's not a shock to neither me nor you, because you played for him, and you know I worked with him as a recruiting assistant. So I know kind of how intense he is. I know how much he pours into it, and I know how smart he is with all that. So Colin Hill, he's got it rolling. He hasn't been called upon to make, you know, to carry the team, which is good, which is what you want. You know, you want to lean on Kevin Harris. You want to be able to be balanced and be able to rely on different people at different times. And that's kind of what South Carolina has done. That's kind of how they've gone on this 2-game win streak. So, it's a 6-point spread. They're 6-point underdogs. I'm going to take South Carolina, because anytime you start two freshmen in this league, it's always a toss up. And if you're going with two freshmen, you don't even have one nailed down. That's always concerning as well. No matter how talented you are, if you have two freshmen quarterback, you really have none. So I think it's going to be a rough go for LSU. I think those two, whichever one comes out of the pile as the better quarterback, I think will be in the long run. I think will be great. I think Max Johnson will be a great quarterback in the long run. I just don't think this week he's going to be all that good. I think South Carolina's going to have a lot to do with that. They're pesky on defense. They've always been pesky on defense since Muschamp has taken over. They just hadn't had that offensive piece. So I'm taking the Gamecocks on the road Saturday night at Tiger Stadium. It's not your typical Saturday night at Tiger Stadium, because you're not going to have 100,000 in there. So you're not going to have 100,000 screaming Cajuns. So I'm taking South Carolina. I think they can win this game outright. Because I think they will I think they will haunt, and I think they will disrupt. I think they will make life miserable for these two freshman quarterbacks for LSU.
I completely agree. I think their defense is peaking right at the right time. Coach Robinson and Coach Muschamp are doing a great job on the defense side of football. And like you say, I think experience is going to win this football game. When you're starting two freshmen who hadn't really had the experience in a night game at LSU, where even though you're the home team, you know, that's still big time. You know, and even though you're not going to have 100,000 people in there, you know, it's still LSU at night. You know, so it's going to come down to can they handle it? And I think South Carolina's peaking at the right time offensively and defensively, and they come in with an experienced quarterback in Colin Hill, and Shai Smith is going to be Shai Smith. He's going to make plays. So they're going to run the football. They're going to stay balanced, and Coach Bobo's done a great job with them. So I think South Carolina's going to win this game outright. And if not, I think it's going to be really close if they do lose this game. But I think they're going to win it outright. Just by watching them last week against Auburn, that defense, I mean, it's getting better and better each week, which is kind of scary to me, especially when we play them later on in the season this year. So I think South Carolina wins it outright. I think LSU has got to figure some things out. I just from watching LSU, I don't think everybody defensively is on board. You know, that defense, you know, they did lose a lot of people on defense, but I think that they're kind of in the business for themselves right now.
They don't believe in Pelini, which
yeah,
I'm not
surprised. You can see the frustration on Pelini's face, and so, you know, it just comes down to execution. I think South Carolina is going to execute a lot more than LSU. I don't think they'll be distracted by the night game or anything that goes on there. So I think South Carolina wins this game outright.
All right. So I guess we feel the similar ways about South Carolina. So that's going to do it for us on the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast. It's been a great show. Been an interesting show. Got a chance to update you guys on recruiting, which is something you know, during the grind of the season, I guess we don't get a chance to do because we're busy breaking down offense, defense, special teams, all that stuff. So, one last thing, the midseason grade for the Dogs, I would still give them, if they beat Alabama, A+ all the way. But since they lost, I'm going to give them an A-. I still think they're in the A category because they have found the running game. They have gelled defensively. They made Alabama earn everything that they got, I think. You know, you're always going to have mistakes. You're always going to have some penalties and some egregious things that happen. But I think for the most part, if you look at this defense, they made Alabama earn everything, which is difficult. I mean, even on turnovers, they Alabama still had to drive and score. I think there's only two big shots, but otherwise they had to drive down and earn it. They've been stingy otherwise against the run. Offensively, I think I'm pleased with the emergence of Kyrus Jackson, and I'm pleased with what Jermaine Burton has done so far. Just needs to be a little bit more consistent with catching the ball, especially making contested catches. So I think if he improves in that area, I think if the tight ends get more involved, I think you're going to see a much improved Georgia team, which I think guys are starting to get comfortable for Todd Monken. You've seen an offense that's incrementally gotten a little bit better each week under Coach Monken, and that shows you that they believe in the system. They're still learning on offense.
Yes.
And so I
completely agree with you, man. After watching them last week, I think Todd Monken was the key. And we talked about it before season started, spread the wealth, you know, spread those guys out, let your receivers go to work. I do think, like you said, I think we need to use our tight ends a little bit more. I mean, you got an almost 7-footer out there, a tight end.
You got LeBron James out there.
Yeah, I think we need to give him the ball a little bit more, not just as a run-blocking situation, you know, and stuff like that. So I think the receivers need to we need Pickens to pick it up. You know, yeah. I think he started two against Alabama, which is great. You can tell his attitude is better. You know, the blocking was better. You know, little things was a lot better with him last week, so I think he's starting to figure it out. So we need one more receiver to emerge, whether that's a tight end, whether that's putting James Cook out there in the slot. And stuff like that, and using all those weapons that we have. I'm interested to see, and is what has Landers been doing? I think that kid needs to play. I think he needs to pick it up, you know, and I think he can help us. I mean, he's what, 6'2", 6'3"?
Mm-hmm. He's
a big kid, you know, and I think he needs to pick it up so he can get in the mix. And once all those guys start gelling together, and Stetson or Mathis or Daniels, you know, whoever the star is going to be starts trusting every last one of those guys, and not just, you know, Kyrus Jackson right now is the guy, you know, Jermaine Burton starting to emerge. So I think once everybody starts clicking on offense, I think we're going to be really good in defense. Defensively, I think we just need to, you know, get back to drawing board, you know, see how we can improve, you know, after last week. And I think they have this week, you know, especially with this off week, you know, you kind of get back, like I said, the fundamentals during off weeks, you know, teaching linemen assignment and stuff like that, working on drills to, you know, better help yourself against situations like we had against Alabama. So I'm not really worried about our defense per se. It's just, you know, just making sure that they're the dominant force when we play good teams. And not saying that every team that we play is not good, but I mean, to be Alabama, you got to be almost perfect, you know, and we meet them again, say we beat them, you got to be 100% perfect against a Clemson or an Ohio State if we end up playing them for national championship. So I think we're fine. I love what I'm seeing. You know, it's always disappointing after a loss, and it's especially after beating them. The times we've played Alabama, we've been beating them at halftime, and they've just come out in the second half and just railroaded us for some reason. So I just think we just got to – how do you beat the Giants? Is it, you know, what is their kryptonite? And I think they'll figure it out, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the season.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a great, great midseason grade there. So that's going to do it for us. Here on the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast. Again, you can find us at Believe in Dogs on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at TroopStar28, Instagram and Twitter at CoachBurton36, Instagram, Twitter. Instagram is Burton.Corey. So you can find us. Give us some feedback, rate, review, subscribe, wherever you find your podcast. I want to thank our sponsor, BetOnline.ag, and go on there and take some action. Take Israel's pick for Missouri. That might be a good one. For that, go Valiants. Go get you a dub tonight. Go Toppers. I'll try to reciprocate and get a dub for us tonight as well. And for that being said, have a great weekend. Enjoy your college football. Enjoy the small SEC schedule, but enjoy some other conferences as well. Big Ten kicks off. So for Israel, I'm Corey Burton. Thank you. Have a great weekend. And as always, go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs. You guys be safe out there.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.